Welcome to Down Memory Lane, a series of podcasts featuring older folk from the Braes of Lochaber community whose memories stretch back in time. Podcast 1, Donald Cameron.
Donald Cameron, and the date is the 14th of November 2012. Donald, I'll just put that there and it'll sort of work away and we'll not bother it. Tell me, when did you join up?
On the 14th of the 5th, 41.
And how old were you then?
I was 17.
Oh, right. And what did you join, which regiment did you join, first of all?
Well, it was called the General Corps.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And then when you did your 3 months training, you were selected, you know, you were going here, you were going there, you know.
Right. And where did you do your training?
Oh, down in Plymouth.
Oh, right. Mm. So you were a long way from home.
Oh, yes.
Was that the first time you'd been away?
Well, the first time I went away so far.
That far, yes, indeed. Yeah, right. So what, when you'd finished your training, what were you allocated to?
I was allocated to the Royal Warwickshire Regiment.
Well, that was out of your country.
Yes.
And did you have any pals from home who were doing their training with you?
No, no.
No, it was just you were a Lochaber boy on his own.
There was a Scotch boy in the whole squad.
Yeah. Oh. And how long were you in the Warwicks?
I was from maybe five, six months.
5, 6 months, yeah. And was the drill, did you volunteer for the commandos?
Well, it came out in company detail.
Uh-huh.
And weren't volunteers. And off we all read it. And this day, this captain, he said, well, why not volunteer? He says, you'll be sent up to your own part of the world.
Yeah.
To trade. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, you know.
So you were sent up to Achnacarry?
Aye. Sent on a train all the way up to Africa to Fort William.
Coming home?
Aye. Just being married.
And was that a military train?
No, no.
No, it was just the, yeah. And what happened when you arrived in Spain?
Well, there was about 8 or 9 of us by the time we reached Spain. And they must obviously knew we were coming. And there was a man shouting and bawling on the station.
Uh-huh.
Saying that, you know, he was going to sort us out. We didn't know what was in for. We marched, a full kit marched to Achnacarry.
And were there any other Scots boys in the 7 or 8, or were they all English?
No, all English.
All English, yeah. And what was that? I mean, that was May 41. That must have been sort of the spring of 1942.
42, right.
You must have been in about the first intake.
Well, it would have been.
It would have been, yeah. So the camp wouldn't have been very big then, was it?
No, no, no. Yeah. It was mostly tents.
Mostly tents.
Mm.
And what time of year was that, Donald? Was that the spring?
I think it was, yes.
Spring 42. And do you remember Colonel Vaughan?
Yes.
Yeah, right. And I don't know if he was there. There was a training major called James Dunning, but I think he was maybe later after you'd have left. He was a fieldcraft trainer. Do you remember any of the training instructors?
Oh, yes. And we used to call him Spider. He was a lieutenant. Leech was his name.
Leech.
Leech. And we called him Spider Leech.
Why was that?
He'd be climbing trees.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
He was a great climber. What other things did you do by way of training?
Oh, running.
Uh-huh.
Over the salt course. Out in canoes,
and obviously out in the hill.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah, right in the hills. And did you do the opposed landings?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how long were you at Achnacarry for, Donald?
I was there for about maybe 2 months.
2 months, right.
And then I went down to Inverary.
Uh-huh. And what was that for?
Oh, just more or less to get you training for the Normandy invasion.
To get complete training.
Aye. And because the beaches down in Inverary were very similar to what there was in Normandy.
Yes, of course, yeah. Aye. And Donald, what did you have any sort of speciality? Were you a machine gunner or were you...
You were trained to do anything.
Right.
You could fire a mortar, machine gun, rifle.
Yeah, right. Hand grenades, the lot. Yeah, right, yes.
You carried four hand grenades in your belt.
In your belt, yeah, yeah. And of course, you would have done a lot of unarmed combat.
Yes.
Did you have a Fairburn Sykes knife?
Yes.
You would have done.
I did,
yeah. Did you return it at the end of the war?
No, I had it and I kept it and I had it in Blaracoor.
Right.
And I think when we left, we left.
When you left there. Oh. Yeah, right, yeah. And when you finished at Inverary, that must have been coming on for the end of 1942 or so.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. What happened then?
Well, we're down a place called Liverton, outside Edinburgh.
Uh-huh, I knew it, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And was that more training?
More training there, right.
And was that specialist or that was just continuing commander training?
Just training.
Yeah, so you were all as tough as nails. And did you have any coming and going with the likes of Arisig or...?
Oh, yes. We, from after Carrie, we walked up through Glenpain.
Yeah.
Right to Millwall.
Right.
And then we went from Millwall over the hill to Loch Islet.
Uh-huh.
And we, you know, there were naval commanders.
That's right, yes, there were, right, yes, yes.
And we got a train back to
the fort. Of course, you'd have been in country that you knew like the back of your hand. You'd have known it far better than the instructors.
When I was going on down there on the Millwall Hill, I could see my home, yes, of course.
From Mabel? Yeah, of course you could. So, Donald, what happened after Liberton?
Liberton, we went down to Littlehampton.
Yep, right.
And were there for a while, and then we went to Sicily.
Then to Sicily, right.
Yeah.
Now, was that was the landings?
Yes.
Right, and that was the commandos?
Yes.
And was that before the invasion of Sicily, or was it just part of it?
Part of it.
It was the beginning of the invasion of Sicily, right. Mm. And which commander unit were you in, Donald?
9th Commando.
9th Commandos. Do you ever go to any of the reunions?
I've been to one or two of them.
And Sicily, that was wicked, wicked fighting.
Oh, yeah.
So what, you landed in from landing craft,
yes.
If I remember rightly, Donald, did the Americans landed on the west coast of Sicily, I think, and the British Army on the east?
Right.
And the plan was that they would meet up and then get on to Italy, yeah.
We were sent home to get ready for the Norman invasion.
Right, but was that after Sicily had fallen?
Why?
Right, so the rest of the army would have gone on into Italy and up towards Monte Cassino, but the commanders went home to train for Normandy.
Training is reinforcements.
Right. Gosh, Sicily, from what I've read about it, it was, I mean, the German troops were very, very tough guys.
Oh,
they were hard guys, yeah.
Oh, they had a good army.
They had the best army, they did indeed.
Yeah.
They were very efficient.
Oh, very.
Yeah, good. Yes, yeah.
And good equipment.
Yes. What sort of vehicles did you use, Donald, when you were... Did you have jeeps?
Jeeps and Bren Gun carriers.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And, mostly what we call a PU, a pickup.
A pickup, right, yes, yeah, yeah, right, yes, yeah.
And, there was three tunners.
There were lorries or whatever. Mm. Yes, right, yeah, right, yeah. Well, was there much artillery landed or was it too heavy?
Six pounders,
right, And Donald, tell me, if you don't mind me asking, were you wounded at all in Sicily?
Not in Sicily, no.
You escaped that one there, Right, yeah. So was that, whereabouts did you come back to in Britain? From Sicily?
We came back to Southampton.
Southampton, right, yeah. And that was just more training?
Well, we went up to a place called Keighley.
Uh-huh.
It's in Yorkshire.
Right.
And kind of recuperated, you know.
Yep. A bit of R&R.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then they sent us up to Dumfries.
Mm-hmm.
a place called Borland.
Right.
And it was just a hill farm.
Right.
We spent the winter a month or two there. We didn't have a billet, but just in tents.
You were in tents in the winter. So that'd be the winter of 1943-44. And again, that was training, was it?
Oh, yeah.
And after that?
We're going back down to England.
Mm-hmm.
We're down at Seven Oaks.
Uh-huh.
Kent, and we're there. We're there till the invasion.
Until the invasion. So in June 44, Number 9 Commando, which beach did you land on?
Sword Beach.
Sword.
Sword.
Sword Beach, yeah. I mean, from what I've read, Donald, people who survived that were lucky.
Oh, very good.
You must have lost a lot of countless mates.
Yes,
and
you were talking to them, the next thing you looked at them.
They were dead. And a lot were drowned, I think.
Oh, yes.
And people who went over with full kit bags or carrying waters or whatever.
Carrying waters, a mortar plate on your back.
Uh-huh.
You know, something like 80 pounds in it, you know.
Yeah. And if the landing craft hooked up on wire or something and you jumped into 6 feet of water.
And you couldn't hesitate, you know.
Yeah.
If the landing craft hit something and you couldn't get on, everybody had to be able to both know 20 feet of water.
Uh-huh, yeah. Tell me, did you ever, when you were doing the river crossings at Achnacarry, did you ever see anyone fall off?
Oh, yes. Yes, I've seen there was a guy, he was drowned.
I mean, somebody told me the other week, last weekend, and I find it hard to believe, but they said that over the period between 42 and the invasion of France, there were over 90 trainee commandos killed.
Well,
I wouldn't know, but...
I wouldn't know.
No.
They would never, never, ever tell you that.
No.
No.
So, Donald, your memories of D-Day must be pretty vivid still.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and once you got off the beach, were the commandos through clearing defences for the main landings? So you were trying to destroy German guns, machine gun positions?
Oh, whatever you could do.
Whatever you could do. And did the main landing force come straight in behind the commandos straight behind? And how long did you spend in Normandy? Because, I mean, that was vicious fighting as well.
Well, the rest of the war finished.
Right.
We went from Armentières in Normandy to a big city in Germany.
I mean, it'd be west of Berlin, obviously.
Aye.
Yeah, right. And it wasn't on the coast, it was in central, it wasn't northern Germany, it was in central Germany.
In northwest Germany.
Northwest Germany. Mm. So that was from June 44 till really May 45. And tell me, Donald, and I'm right in thinking that you fought at Arnhem.
Oh, yes.
And were you parachuted in?
Parachuted in,
Now, when that was...
That was in September 44.
September 44. So, I mean, a unit of commandos was withdrawn from the general advance. And you were trained, and then you parachuted into Arnhem. Where did you do your parachute training?
Down in Ringway.
Ringway, yeah, indeed. Your memory is not bad.
We're at Clay Cross first.
Uh-huh.
And then we went, did our jumps in Ringway.
In Ringway, right. So you must have come home from France, trained, and then
went
to Arnhem to try and capture the bridges.
Bridges,
to let the army cross.
Of course. We very near did it, but
you did too. Yeah. And Donald, was that when you were wounded at Arnhem?
No.
No?
No.
So you were still unscathed?
I was wounded up in a place called Hoxhof.
Hoxhof.
Up in Germany.
What were you doing at the time?
Oh, we were battling
on. You were just battling on, advancing.
And I remember finding the Germans used to have the shells that would burst.
Uh-huh.
Airbus.
Yes, indeed, yeah. Hmm. So it was really shrapnel.
A shrapnel, yeah. Yeah.
Were you wearing a tin hat?
Yes.
You were. Because funnily enough, a lot of the commanders last weekend said that they weren't wearing, they didn't wear tin hats at all.
No.
They just wore the cap comforter.
Aye.
But I mean, without the tin hat, you'd have been a goner.
Oh, aye.
Yeah. And were you evacuated back to England?
No.
No, you were just treated in a field hospital. Yeah, and you must have been 21, or
aye.
You were about that age. How long were you? How long were you invalided for?
I might have been between the hospital and kind of convalescing.
Uh huh.
Well, might have been 2 months or so. Mm.
Did you come home at all?
No.
No, you just were convalescing behind the lines.
Aye.
Right, and then it was back into
the war was near over.
Yes, right, right, yeah. Was it finished by the time you were back on foot?
It was finished, eh?
So Armistice Day had come by the time you were, right. So really, you went from 1941 to 1945 and at the last gasp, and that's it, is it?
That's it.
That's it. Anything else?
No.
No, by Jove. Mm. Yeah. And you must have lost lots and lots of mates, hundreds perhaps.
You couldn't
count.
No.
And after the war, Donald, you were just demobbed and that was it?
No. After. We were in Germany.
Uh-huh.
And they were going to send us out to Kentucky in America.
Right.
To invade Japan.
Oh, right.
The Japanese war was still going on.
Of course it was.
But the Americans dropped an atomic bomb.
Uh-huh. And that was the end of it. Uh-huh. Right,
so,
yeah.
So they sent us out to Palestine.
Right.
And I was out there until I got the bomb.
And when was that?
In, I think it was 46.
46.
Mm, I think they were.
And in Palestine, that was really peacekeeping duties, was it?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Pretty dangerous stuff because...
It wasn't very safe.
There was a lot of hardware flying about, yeah.
Right,
yeah. And Donald, do you remember when you were demobbed, you would have got sort of wartime allowances, you would have got a suit and a suitcase, I dare say.
A suit and a cardboard box.
Right, yeah.
And a coat.
Uh-huh.
A gabardine coat.
Uh-huh.
A hat and a pair of shoes.
And that was it?
That was it. That's you, yeah.
That's you. Thanks very much. Off you go. Well. Donald, that's a marvellous story. I mean, I'm sure there's that's just the very bare bones of it. But I mean, fighting from Normandy right the way to northwest Germany with a spell at, you know, Arnhem in between.
Mm.
What at Arnhem, were many of the paratroopers captured?
Oh yes. Oh,
how did you survive? How did you avoid capture?
Been in the right place at the right, you know.
Yeah, right. What, did a British unit or an American unit come and relieve you?
Oh, yeah.
It was a British unit, was it?
Uh-huh.
And so much is the right place at the right time. It's the bullet or the shell burst or whatever. Donald, what I'd like to do, if I may, is to turn the clock back a bit further. You were 17 in 1951, so that's 41. You were born in about 36, or 30, 36, was it?
Oh, no.
No.
I'm born in 20.
Well, beg your pardon, yeah, you were 41, 31, 20, 26, or
aye.
1926. Was it 1926, or earlier?
About 25.
25, then. Right, yes, of course. Yeah, I was getting my, yeah, I'm born 25. And that was at... Talbot.
At Talbot.
Yeah. And how big a family was it, Donald?
There was eight of us.
Right. And where were you in the family?
I was third.
You were third. And how was the spread of boys and girls?
Well, there was John, Angus, me, four boys,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And four girls, right. Right. Tell me, many of them, any of them, others still on the go?
Yes. Yes, I have two sisters.
Any brothers?
No.
No. And did they live locally?
Well, one of them, Angus, he was working down in Drumlin for a while.
Right, right, mm. Yeah, okay, fine. And Donald, your very early childhood memories, where did you first go to school?
Went to school over to where McIntosh living.
Right, there was a school over the right.
Aye. I was only, well, my birthday was in June.
Uh-huh.
But I went to school at Easter before that.
Yeah.
So that there were at least three people in school.
Uh-huh.
To keep the... without three, they wouldn't keep the teacher.
Right. I see, right. So you went early, as it were, yeah. Mm. And is that at... I'm trying to remember. Is, what, I can't remember the name of that bit of North of South Mora. What's the name of his where his house is?
Who?
McIntosh.
Tarbert.
It is Tarbert. Yes. Mm. So there was the church.
There's a church there.
And the yeah right
the
yeah.
Was, the school was in the church, in the vestry.
I see. Yeah.
But they used to at that time used to they would have a mass. Maybe once a fortnight.
Yeah.
In the summertime, once a month in the wintertime.
Yes, mm. Right, yeah. And who was the teacher?
Oh, that...
There would have been a few, I suppose.
Yeah, a few of them. We had two sisters, Ruth Macmillan from Uist.
And tell me, Donald, for school you would just wear... short trousers and a jersey. And tackety boots or... What about the summer?
Well, what if maybe a sand shoe.
A sand shoe or something, yeah. Mm. And did you have... what did you do for lunch? Did you have a... take just a piece?
A piece.
Took a piece for lunch. And it must have been quite wild in the winter.
Could have been very wild.
Yep. You would have relied on a boot just all the time. You would all just have relied on a boot all the time. Yes.
Without the boot, you were
stuck. Huh. You were completely stuck. So you would have grown up, Donald, working with sheep and cattle.
Oh, yeah.
Just running about behind your father.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Where did your parents come from?
My father, his people came from Roybridge.
Right. Mm. And your mother?
My mother, she belonged to Tarbert.
To Tarbert, mother, all right. So she was a local girl.
But they came to Tarbert from the end of Loch Nevis.
Right.
Was it Finnish Gager?
Yeah. Mm. Well, when about that would have been, if you were born in 25 and you were the third child, your mother might have been born about the turn of the century. So they might have come from Finnish Keg at maybe 1880 it would be something like that, yeah. And Donald, tell me just what you ate for breakfast you would have just porridge.
Porridge and an egg. We had our own, everybody had a hinge.
Yeah.
And they made their own bread.
And you would have had your parents would have had a garden. They'd have grown cabbages and carrots good garden. And a house cow? And cattle on the croft.
Aye.
Where did your mother do any shopping? Was it Mallaig that it would come born?
Well, mostly Mallaig.
Yeah.
Or Mora.
Mallaig or Mora.
There's a wee shop in Mora at the time.
Yeah.
Mm. It's still there.
Right, I knew it, yeah. Mm. And would she go to Mallaig maybe once a month or...?
Oh, no, just send her...
She would send a note?
No.
Yeah.
Then they would go down the end of the month and pay there.
Yep, right, that's the way it works, yeah. And I suppose, Donald, for heat and light, you would have had tilly lamps.
A tilly lamp and paraffin.
And then peats.
Peat, aye.
Yeah. Do you remember Christmases particularly?
We always used to get something.
There was something. That's what Flora would say. Mm. Oh, well, I used to maybe get a pencil case or a comb or something like that. Yeah, you would get a wee present. That would be all there was to it.
There was a woman in Mora, a Mrs. Shaw Stewart.
I know her, yes. Mm. Yep, absolutely.
She used to lay a treat for the children.
That's from Try. And was that at Christmas?
Well, it was mostly in the summer.
In the summer. Yeah. And tell me about it.
Well, you used to go down to the wee hall More. And they would have ice cream and cakes and tea and whatever, juice or...
Yeah. And did you have games?
No.
It was really a wee ceilidh in the hall for the children, yeah. How many children would have gone to that?
Well, there were a lot of children from Mora would come.
Of course, yes, yeah.
And Bracara.
Uh-huh.
Meubel,
all these places, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right, yes. And Donald, do you remember the people that lived in Swordland Lodge?
Oh, yes.
Now, just tell me about them.
Oh, a man Colwell.
That's right, yes. And it had been Lovett before that.
No, it's Colwell that built the lodge.
No, but the land.
Oh, yes.
The estate was Lovett's before that, but Colwell built the lodge, yes.
Colwell just got the site for the lodge.
Uh-huh, yes, yeah. And do you remember the Lovetts at all? Were they ever about?
You wouldn't see much of them.
No, they weren't here very often. I mean, no.
They would come and maybe to the hotel, and the crofters would all go down and pay their rent. And,
right.
You know.
And the rents, my guess is, were pretty modest. They wouldn't be much. I mean, it would be £3-4 or whatever it might be.
£5 a year.
£5 a year. Mm. It's just like Lockheed Estates. It's the same thing. Mm. For years, we said to look, at one point, someone said, we should increase the Croft rents. I said, look, you'll double it from £5 to £10. You'll cause havoc. Oh. Just leave well alone. Yeah. But the Lovetts were a popular family, I think.
I love it.
Yes, yeah. And they owned the house in the outskirts of Malig, Glasnacardach. I think was that what it was? Yes, Glasnacardach. Oh. Yeah. And then there was the Grants who were at Keppoch during the war, the Grants of Rothiemurchus. He was a training major. There was a lot of them. Right, yeah. So, Donald, after you left school at Tarbert, where did you go to then?
I went to Meubel.
To school there?
No.
Oh, no.
To what?
So you were at school at Tarbert, that's all you were ever at?
No.
And when did you leave school?
At 14.
Yeah. So you were at Tarbert, really, for 10 years?
Yeah.
I wondered if you'd been sent to Malig or somewhere like that.
No.
So then you went to Meubel, age 14. And that was a young shepherd, was it?
Aye.
And who owned Meubel then?
Sir Barclay Sheffield.
Sorry, say again, Barclay?
Barclay Sheffield.
Right, it's not a name that I know that, yeah. And that was really a deer forest and a sheep holding.
Well, there wasn't many sheep on it.
Was there not? Right. No. Was it mostly deer?
Mostly all deer.
Right. And you just lived in the bothy then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who was the stalker? Can you remember?
Oh, yes. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stalkers.
By Jove.
And the head stalker was a man, Sandy MacDonald.
Where did he come from?
Oh, a local man.
He was a local man, yeah.
And his wife was local as well.
Uh-huh. And the other four?
Well, his brother was the other,
right.
The second stalker.
Yeah.
John MacDonald.
Yep, right.
And then there was Ronald MacDonald.
Right. Was he related?
No.
No, no.
No, and then there was a man, MacDonnell, I forget his name.
Right.
First name.
And you?
Aye, and Angus Gillis, that's in from Sally.
Right, Angus was there as well. Right. Yeah. So that's the five stalkers.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy, John, Ronald, MacDonnell. And then Angus Gillis. And what were you, a gilly?
Oh, just
whatever needed doing.
Aye.
You were the youngster.
Aye. Of course, they had a gardener and three boatmen.
Three boatmen. And then there'd be domestic staff. Yes, right, yeah. And how long did you stay there, Donald?
Till 1937.
Right. So going from 1926, 30, so you were there for 6 or 7 years, yeah. And what happened after that?
Well, then the war came.
So that was right, okay. Mm. So it was after that, the war.
And then Meubel was taken over by the army.
Yes, of course it was, yeah. So, Donald, going back to when you were demobbed, you came home, yep, and that was home to Tarbert.
Aye.
Yep.
To Swordland.
To Swordlands, yeah. And did you just work there on the croft, or...?
Aye, but there was no work.
No.
No, really, so no. I came to Fafoya.
Right, yeah. Were your other brothers in the army?
Oh, yes. Right. My brother Angus, he was in the RAF.
Yep, right.
And John, my oldest brother, he was in the Royal Engineers.
Right, well, as a family, you did your bit. So you came to Fort William, and where did they fetch up there?
We're staying over at Annet.
Uh-huh. Well, we must have been living at Camasnahar then.
It would have been, aye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember going to school in Annet. I'm trying to remember the name of the teacher. She came from the islands, Morag. That'll come back, yeah. I remember Annet, yes. Was that one of the prefabs?
In the prefabs.
And were you just sort of staying in digs, or...?
Aye.
Yeah. Looking for work.
And I got work with the land quarry.
Right. And then shepherding?
Then I was there. Oh, then I went to look, left there and went to Lochiel.
Right. So you said Lochiel, you went to Lochiel in 1951.
Aye. Oh, yes, I was down in, for a season, down in Oban.
Uh-huh. What were you doing there?
On the pleasure boat.
On the boats, yeah, right.
Uh-huh. For a Mrs. My boss was a Mrs. Spence.
Yeah?
She had two, three boats.
Mrs. What was her name?
Spence.
Spence.
Spence,
You were just picking up work whenever you could.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you went to Lochiel in 51. And was that was at Achnacarry, was it?
Robert Strath.
Ah, yes, indeed, yeah. Was that in the days when the minibus used to go up and down, or did you live up there?
Oh, we lived
up there. You lived up there, mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Whereabouts did you live? Was it...
Strahan House.
In Strahan House, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who else was up there then?
Well, there was Jimmy Henderson.
Uh-huh.
And there was another boy in the bothy along with me, Robert Wright.
Oh, right, yeah, uh-huh.
And...
That's Margaret's husband.
Aye,
right, yep.
And Sandy Kennedy was up there. There was a knock and tea.
Was he? I didn't know that.
He was there.
Was that before he was married?
No, no.
No, he was married then.
And of course, Geordie McGregor. Do you know him?
No, I didn't. Geordie.
It was Geordie McGregor. He was in Murlagan. Just called Murlagan.
I knew it, yes, yeah. Yeah. And was there anybody in Tolliman then?
There was a man, McFarish.
McFarish, yeah.
But Tolliman used to be empty for quite a bit,
yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there was quite a few families there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was quite a wee, and the school was still open then.
Oh,
right. Yep, yep, right.
School was there,
and there was an ambulance, wasn't there, that used to come up and down.
Aye.
And the rifle had gone by then, the yacht.
Oh, yes.
The steamboat had gone. No, there was the ambulance that came up and down.
It was an ex-army ambulance.
Yeah. And did you look after yourselves in the bothy?
Oh, aye.
Or did one of the wives come and cook a bit, or...?
We used to, when there was gatherings,
yeah.
The crowd of us there,
uh-huh.
Lexi McIntosh,
uh-huh, sure.
Used to come up,
yep.
And cook for us.
Yeah, of course. So you were up at Strachan for how long?
I was there to 1955, November 5th, I think it was November 55.
So you always moved at the term? Yes, yeah, yeah. And what happened then?
I went to Blaracurn.
That was straight to Blaracurn, yeah. Mm-hmm. And had Donald Glen Nevis bought it from the Forestry Commission by then, or was it rented?
He'd rented.
He rented it. So you were working as Donald Shepherd in Blaracurn, yeah.
Well, that's the reason I left, because Donald didn't have... the forestry would only sell him the low ground.
Yes.
The fields of Glen Nevis.
Uh-huh.
But they wouldn't sell him the hill.
Right, right.
And then they came and planted it.
Yes, right.
So, yeah. That was in 1873.
In 1973, mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. I mean, the low ground is no good without the hill.
No, no.
Yeah.
And the hill isn't any good without the low ground.
And the hill's not any good. The two go together. Exactly that, yes. So you were at Blaracurn from 55 to...
73.
To 73, so it's nearly 20-odd years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That must be when David Parker bought it.
David Parker bought it.
I remember that, yes. Yeah, yeah, right. So by then, 25, you were sort of 50-ish then also.
Aye.
You had a bit of mileage in you yet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what did you... You went to Glen Nevis then, did you?
No, I came here.
Right. And what did you do? What did you work at then?
Well, I got the job of Minor Brooks.
Uh-huh.
He went out to Argentina.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I don't know, he took some of the sheep away.
Right.
He left the rest.
Uh-huh.
And I was asked, would I take in? So I spent all winter.
Right.
Taking in what I could.
Gathering what you could, yes, yeah.
Oh, way up Steel.
Yeah.
Way up to near Spain Bridge.
Yes, right, just everywhere, yeah. Yeah.
And then...
So that was Mamore stock that Brooks hadn't taken with him.
Oh, yeah.
Right, right.
I don't know what went wrong. He sold the Mamores once off, but they never... He took some off Argentina, but I think the convenient ones, you know.
And of course, Ian McCall would have bought some of the Mamore ones, did he?
Well, he bought the Mamore.
He bought the Mamore stock, so you were looking after all the Argentina end of things.
Aye.
Right, I'm with you, yeah.
And myself and Dodo went in partnership.
That was what I was coming to, yeah. Aye. And that was, which ground was that?
Argentina.
That was Argentina, yeah.
Just Argentina.
Just Argentina, right.
None of these two climb places.
I remember hearing you had a nasty fall.
Why, at Argentina?
At Argentina. That was in the winter, I think, and just was it frost?
Aye.
And you just slid from the top to the bottom.
Well, I kept going a long way.
I remember hearing about it, yes. Was that on Melon Tea?
Aye.
Yeah. So, Donald, you've seen the ups and downs of hill sheep farming.
Oh, yeah.
It must make you sad to see what you see now. The hills are bare.
Nothing.
There's nothing on them at all.
No.
Hills are bare, yeah.
And I think myself that it's good to get bearer.
Uh-huh, I think you could well be right. Yeah, I could be right. And tell me, Donald, when did you marry?
53.
So you were up at Strahan then?
Aye.
Right. And did you and your wife live up there?
Aye, we were up in Tolleman.
You lived at Tolleman, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Where did your wife come from?
East Wings in Fife.
From Fife?
I tell you, she was a hardy woman.
How did you meet her?
There was a man, Duncan McGilvery, and he was with us up in Strahan. And he had awful good dogs, this man.
Uh-huh.
But dog, he didn't like Strahan and didn't like this and that like that.
Yeah.
Went away, but he said he had an awful good bitch. And he was living down in St. Andrews. And so I went down with him one weekend and I met Emma.
There you are.
Yeah.
Just like that. She was called Emma.
Emma.
Emma, yeah. And you've got two daughters?
And a son too.
Right.
He died. He had tumour in the brain.
How old was he, Donald?
23.
Oh, he was that age, yeah. What was he called?
Angus.
Angus. And how many granddaughters have you got?
not many.
Is it three?
Three,
yes. And when you gave up Argentina, that would have been when? Was that when Dodo moved up to Dingwall?
Aye.
Right, yeah. And after that, you had bits of grazing here and there.
Yeah.
And you would have done neighbouring and odds and then just helping out.
Of course, I had the Croft and Sorland.
You had the Croft and Sorlands as well, yes.
Mm.
Yeah, that's quite a story. But I'll get this sort of worked up. And I'm sure there's an awful lot you've not let on that brave, brave men did.
Down Memory Lane was brought to you by the West Highland Museum and Nevis Radio. The recordings are based on interviews conducted for the Braes Community newspaper between 2012 and 2021. A book accompanying the series has been published by the Braes team and can be purchased from the museum or the Highland Bookshop in the High Street, Fort William.